John Sturman from Ukuleles Unleashed. You're listening to WGXC Acra, Hudson, Catskill. 90.7 FM radio for open ears.
The Catskill Town Board meets every first Tuesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. at the Catskill Town Hall and holds a committee meeting the third Wednesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. You can turn out in person at the Catskill Town Hall to speak at these meetings or tune in to a live web stream through the Catskill Town Board and WGXC. Go to wgxc.org/listen or click on the listen button at wgxc.org to tune in to any of the Catskill Town Board meetings, the first Tuesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. and the third Wednesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. at wgxc.org and townofcatskillny.gov.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Upstate Films, where membership provides access to world-class cinema, first-run feature films, art house films, live music, and more, plus advance notice of close-up series conversations with directors and actors and other special events at the Star Theater in Rhinebeck, the Orpheum in Saugerties, and traveling around the Hudson Valley. Information at upstatefilms.org. That's upstatefilms.org.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Edward Ruschalski in Syracuse, New York. WGXC monthly supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast, April the 18th, 2024. I'm Mike Clifford. Health disparities in Texas are not only making some people sick, they are also having an impact on the state's economy.
A new study finds Texas is losing $7 billion a year because it doesn't adequately address quality of life issues and the health care needs of its lower income residents. The research was sponsored by the Episcopal Health Foundation, Methodist Healthcare Ministries of South Texas, and St. David's Foundation. Brian Sasser with the Episcopal Health Foundation says health care includes more than doctors' visits and medication.
It's everything from increasing access to affordable health insurance to investing in under-resourced neighborhoods to give them more options, whether that's exercise options or food options. Look at policy changes that expands health insurance coverage for new moms.
The report breaks down the economic cost of preventable health differences for every Texas county. It says Bear, Dallas, Harris, Tarrant, and Travis counties are losing the most money annually because of health disparities. I'm Frieda Ross reporting.
And now from CNN, the impeachment trial against Alejandro Mayorkas barely got underway. The Senate killed the articles of impeachment against the Homeland Security Secretary on Wednesday. And more than a third of all Massachusetts municipalities have had a change in their chief election official or their town clerk since the 2020 presidential election.
Heightened scrutiny and harassment are helping fuel an increasing turnover rate of election officials in Massachusetts and beyond, according to a new report. More than a third of all Massachusetts municipalities have had a change in their chief election official or town clerk since 2020. Rachel Ory with the Bipartisan Policy Institute says the job has grown more complex.
Today, election officials must manage everything from cybersecurity risks posed by foreign adversaries to public communications with people who are doubting the outcome of elections, to information technology, legal disputes.
While Massachusetts has experienced lower turnover rates than other states, Ori says rates are highest in larger urban jurisdictions, which have been the focus of unsubstantiated claims of voter fraud. The Justice Department says it has opened more than 100 investigations involving threats to election workers since the creation of a special task force in 2021. Many threats stem from the belief that the 2020 presidential election was stolen. Ori says the stresses of the job are impacting longtime workers dedicated to free and fair elections.
That's where state and federal legislators can really step in to provide adequate resources, competitive compensation levels, and safety protections for election officials.
Support for this reporting was provided by the Carnegie Corporation of New York. For Public News Service, I'm Catherine Carley.
This is Public News Service. It's budget time in New York, and the New York Heat Act might not make the final budget.
The bill reduces the state's reliance on natural gas and cuts ratepayer costs by eliminating certain rules. It was in both legislative chambers' one-house budgets, but last-minute scrambling could remove it. New York League of Conservation Voters Patrick McClellan says, aside from people's preference for natural gas, other challenges have made the bill hard to pass.
I think that there has also been some irresponsible fear-mongering against this bill from some people who oppose it, basically telling people that this means that their natural gas service is going to be taken away from them tomorrow, or it's going to happen without warning. And that's just not the case.
The bill would not mean gas companies could walk away from providing service to new customers, since its effects occur over a longer period. Rural lawmakers have been skeptical about relying solely on electricity, since people could lose power in bad storms. I'm Edwin J. Vieira.
Next, Merrick Tegadoff. Oregon lawmakers passed a major housing package in this year's session, but easing the state's housing crisis will take some more work.
Bills passed during the short legislative session will send a total of $376 million to address the state's housing shortage. That includes Senate Bill 1530 and Senate Bill 1537. Priorities for Governor Tina Kotek. Head of Habitat for Humanity of Oregon, Shannon Villhauer, says the governor's housing package is groundbreaking.
We also see important investments in emergency housing assistance, addiction recovery support, and renters protection. So those are all investments that are going to help stabilize Oregonians in need of housing assistance and benefit the communities we all share.
The housing package includes funds for housing and homelessness projects and to support counties buying land and development properties.
Finally, our Mark Moran lets us know that educators and public school advocates are pushing back on a measure that would consolidate state-funded services that have been an important part of schools in rural Iowa for generations.
Area Education Agencies, or AEAs, have been the go-to place for educators in rural Iowa when they need state services at the local level in all 99 Iowa counties. House Bill 2612 would consolidate the AEAs, outsource some of their services, and give the state oversight of them. Common Good Iowa's Mike Owen says the AEAs have been critical resources for generations.
The area education agencies have been a very valuable regional system that helps school districts, large and small, with various services that they can't really do on their own, from special education to media services to professional development of teachers.
Governor Kim Reynolds, who signed House Bill 2612, says the measure will provide a more efficient way to spend the state's education dollars.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. You can hear us on radio stations big and small, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trusted indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Thursday, April 18th. Local early morning temperatures range from 40 degrees in Tannersville to 45 in Skodak. The regional average soil temperature is 49 degrees. Pollen levels for today have fallen back to medium levels. Temperatures will linger around 47 degrees all day long as the rain falls from the sky. That comes to a stop around midnight and we see a low of 42. Tomorrow, still cloudy, temperatures reach 58 degrees, but growing winds will counter that, leaving conditions cold and wet. Rain returns around 3 p.m. Don't get caught out in the woods under those conditions. It could lead to some danger. 46 degrees and some more rain overnight takes us into a kinda moist Saturday with a high of 61 and a chance for rain in the afternoon. Sunday is looking dry with a high of 58. Sunset today will be at 7:25 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:05 a.m. Looking way up, we see X-class flare chances are at 10%. Plasma winds will be slow at 374 kilometers per second with an average density of 6 protons per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently okay for very low frequencies, then fair below 15 megahertz overnight. There are low chances for aurora this evening, even though it's going to be cloudy. The current sunspot number is 199, and this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Maker Syndicate.
The Public News Service DOAA Newscast, April the 16th, 2024. I'm Mike Clifford. We head first to Colorado, where families need to sign up before the end of April to receive $120 per child to buy food through the summer EBT program approved by the Congress.
Families with incomes that qualify for free and reduced price school lunches, up to around $49,000 a year for a family of three, must enroll through their school. Anya Rose with Hunger Free Colorado says as school cafeterias close their doors for summer, EBT cards can help kids get the nutrition they need to return to school in the fall ready to learn.
Well, a lot of families will be automatically enrolled if they're enrolled in programs like TANF, SNAP, Medicaid. If you're unsure, then talk to your school about filling out the household income form to make sure you can qualify for this year if you're income eligible.
EBT grocery cards can be used to buy fruits and vegetables, milk, cheese, eggs, breads, meat, fish, and other food at all grocery stores that accept SNAP, the program formerly known as food stamps. SNAP stands for Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Plan. Rose notes grocery cards will be sent by mail, so it's important to make sure schools have your correct address. I'm Eric Galatas.
And now from Maggie Haberman at the New York Times, Donald J. Trump faces charges that he falsified business records to cover up a sex scandal while serving as president. More than half of the first group of prospective New York jurors was dismissed almost immediately. The Times reports Trump was charged in Manhattan, a deeply Democratic county, and his former home, with falsifying nearly three dozen business records in an attempt to cover up a payment to a porn star. Trump denies the encounter happened. He faces 34 felony counts and could face probation or up to 4 years of prison time. Next to Indiana, where our Joey Lurie reports, it just got easier for Hoosiers to study who is running for the upcoming May primary.
The Indiana Citizen is a nonpartisan news platform that has published its election guide to help make sense of the thousands of candidates whose names will appear on ballots. Publisher Bill Morrow says this is the fourth election in which the Indiana Citizen has participated, but it is the first primary election. He hopes voters will use the online tool to improve the state's civic health.
Indiana continues to be ranked among the very bottom for voter registration, civic literacy, and turnout. So we wanted to do something to contribute toward the civic health, but also providing unbiased information to voters.
According to Indiana Secretary of State Diago Morales, voter turnout for Indiana in the last comparable election for May 2020 was 65%. The highest turnout in the state was 75% in Hamilton and Wells counties. The lowest turnout was 59% in Delaware and Madison counties.
This is Public News Service. And today is National Healthcare Decisions Day. It highlights the importance of planning for the future when it comes to medical choices. Our Eric Tegetoff has more.
In particular, the organization Compassion and Choices is focused on end-of-life decisions and ensuring that people discuss advanced care planning with their loved ones and healthcare team. Megan Williams is Clinical Engagement and Education Program Manager with the organization.
Talking about your end-of-life plans, your advanced care plans, you're giving your loved ones and the people around you an opportunity to feel confident that they are following your wishes as they continue to support you through your journey.
Oregon is one of 10 states where medical aid in dying is legal.
And despite a recent policy victory, Wisconsin labor leaders still express concern about the current environment for shielding young teens from unsafe work environments.
Governor Tony Evers this month vetoed a bill that would have expanded the elimination of required work permits for those under 18. Wisconsin State AFL-CIO President Stephanie Bloomingdale says these are policy fights advocates thought they won decades ago when minors often worked in dangerous conditions. But she says there's a strong push to chip away at protections.
We are seeing a growing movement from different unscrupulous employers that want to put kids back in the workplace and not have the kind of oversight that is needed.
The Economic Policy Institute says rollbacks have been approved in a dozen states the past few years. And while current efforts are thwarted in Wisconsin, Bloomingdale worries about similar debates in future sessions. Backers of the Wisconsin bill say the goal was to reduce red tape for families. I'm Mike Moen.
Finally, from our Tramell Gomes, as the Sunshine State grapples with the rising temperatures and escalating weather events such as hurricanes, a new study sheds light on the pivotal role of Florida's wildlife corridor in mitigating the effects of climate change coupled with the surge of new residents.
The report is trumpeted as a first-of-its-kind study showcasing how the 18 million acres of the wildlife corridor, which runs through the entire state, ease the worst impact of climate change. It paints a picture of investing in resources that support cohabitation to be mutually beneficial with nature and the economic growth that comes from people who flock to the state to enjoy it. Colin Polsky founded the Florida Atlantic University School of Environmental, Coastal, and Ocean Sustainability, and is the study's lead author. He says the corridor benefits the state.
It's an attempt to welcome the 1,000 people a day approximately who move to Florida, but to do so in a way that allows the wildlife to continue to thrive.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Here are some radio stations, big and small, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Tuesday, April 16th. Local early morning temperatures range from 30 degrees in Steventown to 48 in Voorheesville. That Voorheesville one is an anomaly. Everybody else is under 40 degrees, making it a pretty chilly morning. Regional average soil temperature is 47 degrees. It is catching up with the river, which spiked over the weekend, topping 50 degrees. When that becomes more consistent, we'll bring back the regular river stats. Pollen levels for today will be high. Sorry, sufferers. Blame the trees. Maple, juniper, and ash are the heavy hitters. Stay in bed. Let that day warm up a bit first. Conditions will be cool by 12 p.m. Grab a hoodie just in case and head outside to enjoy the high temperature of 65 degrees happening at 4 p.m. Overnight, temperatures fall to 38 degrees. Well, I know. I didn't see one issued, but that should be a frost warning just to be safe. Tomorrow, temperatures rebound, hitting 62 degrees at 4 p.m. However, around 2 p.m., light rain chances roll into the area. This will continue all night, lasting through the temperature drop to 45 degrees. Thursday, rain continues and we get a high of 50. Friday, small break in the rain for the morning and we get a high of 58. Sunset today will be at 7:23 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:08 a.m. Looking way up, we see an M-class flare yesterday released in Hadouken that is expected by NASA to arrive on Thursday and cause a G1 class storm. When it comes to CMEs, they're basically just guessing, so let's see what actually happens. Solar cycle 25 is still ramping up, and as such, X-class flare chances today are up to 10%. Plasma winds will be slow at 379 kilometers per second with a thin density of 1 proton per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently pretty lame till dark, then fair below 60 megahertz overnight. There are low chances for aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 193. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
I was just going to lie down for 5 minutes, take a little nap.
Yeah, a regular Rip Van Winkle.
Who?
Another guy who took a little nap, woke up and didn't know where he was.
We'll be right back.
That was Roel Funken with Zenus Alphalon from the 2022 album Hexvalent.
When the sun goes down and the moon comes up, I turn into a teenage goo goo mug. Yeah, I cruise through the city and I roam the streets, looking for something that is nice to eat. You better duck when I show up.
Turn out for Wayfarms WGXE 90.7 FM's karaoke contest fundraiser at Half Moon in Hudson on Friday, May 10th. The evening will be hosted by karaoke Amanda of WGXE show Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda, with proceeds from ticket sales benefiting WGXE. The contest's theme is communication, so all songs related to dialing, radio, phone, internet, fax, and more are eligible. Choose your tune and sing it for our guest judges, Ariel and Gloria, of WGXE show Las Brujas Bilingües, and DJ Patty Boom of WGXE show Vinyl Freedom, to win prizes. Prizes include tickets to the Negative Land and Sue C., Matt Mose, and Rodney Allen Greenblatt show at the Greenville Drive-In and other goodies. Doors are open at 7 p.m. and karaoke contest begins at 8 p.m. If you can't turn out in person, tune in for a live broadcast of the event on the FM dial or online. For more information, visit the community calendar at wavefarm.org.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
This week's Peace Bucket on Hudson Mohawk Magazine is divided into two sections. The first half reports on a rally organized by college students at the state capitol on Monday, April 15th, to call on the SUNY administration, the governor, and state lawmakers, and Comptroller Tom DiNapoli to halt doing business and investing in Israel, at least until they stop the genocide in Gaza. The rally of several hundred people marched from the state capitol down to SUNY Central Administration. We hear from Samara Sangeri with Black Lives Matter from Saratoga, Adrian Antonioli from Skidmore College, Peter Lavigne, a SUNY professor and co-chair of the Green Party of New York State, and Iyad Al-Karabi of the Queer Palestinian Empowerment Network. In the second half, we hear from Fred Nagel as part of his weekly activist radio segment from the Vassar College radio station.
Samara Sangeri, she's a poet, a human rights scholar with a BA in Holocaust Genocide Studies, and a co-founder of Saratoga Black Lives Matter.
Call and response right now. Have much to talk today, but, and I come here because I always talk about the struggles and the interconnectedness of our fights and our movement.
Yes!
That Palestinians, just like indigenous peoples, just like black Americans in America, have fought against the chains and oppression of tyranny, just like Palestinians. It is simple as to why our fights are interconnected. Just like the Black Panther Party, who got messages, Angela Davis got letters from Palestinians talking about how they support her, how they fight for her, all the way in Palestine.
I hope and I pray, and we are here to see that this work that we've been doing in the past months materializes in a free, liberated, and independent Palestine. I'm a student organizer with Skidmore for Palestine, and we have spent the past 6 months demanding that Skidmore cut ties with Israel, whatever they may be. All of Skidmore's runs on HP, a company that is actively providing the necessary technology, additionally has a professorial exchange program with Ben-Gurion University of the Negev, a school which has stolen the water from indigenous Bedouin Palestinians and is intimately linked to the colonization of southern Palestine and the maintenance and occupation of the Gaza death camp. What more I can say about Skidmore's complicity in genocide, about Skidmore's role in maintaining this false sense that if only we have enough dialogues, we can get through this. But we know that there is no dialogue to be had between the sword and the neck. There is only an intifada, there is only revolution, there is only boycott, divestments, and sanctions that can take down the occupation, that can put an end to the genocide, and that can free Palestine. I want to focus on the solidarity that I see here today. For our struggle at Skidmore to be successful, we need SUNY BDS to be successful. In our schools, in our isolated workplaces, and our own personal shopping habits, no one will hear, no one will listen, and no one will act. Instead, we must act collectively and connect and activate on all of our campuses. For a future where universities in Gaza are rebuilt, and that the history, the intelligence, and the creativity of Palestine and the Palestinian people will finally be free.
Free, free, free Palestine!
Free, free, free Palestine!
Yeah, my name's Peter Lavinia. I'm the co-chair of the Green Party of New York State. I'm also a professor at SUNY Oneonta. And I'm here to support the Palestinian rights and to protest with SUNY BDS.
And so what's the call for divestment? What's the focus of today?
The focus is to divest from stocks and other parts of the SUNY fund that are invested in military stocks that fund Israel or weapons that are attacking Gaza.
And what's the Green Party's position on this whole situation?
We support Gaza and we support Palestinian liberation. You know, we support a Palestinian state in the Middle East, and we call for an end to the genocide that's happening in Gaza and a permanent ceasefire.
And what should SUNY and the state controller and the rest of them do, and the governor?
They should divest, 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 and they should call for a ceasefire. It's an unconscionable moral crime what's happening in Gaza right now. And every instant that our elected leaders don't stand up for what's right, it's a moral failing. You know, the comptroller, Tom DiNapoli, should stand up and say we're divesting from this, just like he should from stocks that invest in fossil fuel companies. And unfortunately, Tom DiNapoli has gotten away with it for too long and hasn't. But we need to put pressure on him, Kathy Hochul, and the legislature to do so.
Hi, so my name is Iyad. My affiliation is with QPEN, which is the LGBT Palestinian group nationally, locally the Palestinian Rights Committee, and as a SUNY alumni supportive of Palestinians organizing stuff.
And what was the message today?
To get SUNY to invest in human rights and divest from the state of Israel and divest from the war economy.
And have you had any response so far from SUNY?
Not really. I did try to let them know before we send the protest, come meet with us and do this anyway, but I guess we're going to have to.
Next is Fred Nagel of Activist Radio at Vassar College radio station.
Our first story is from Middle East Eye. A group of graduate students at Yale University launched a hunger strike on Friday in protest against the institution's investments in companies providing Israel with military weaponry. Students argue the university is profiting off what a growing number of Americans say is a genocide of Palestinians in Gaza being carried out by Israel. The hunger strike was launched after students with the group Hunger Strikers for Palestine sent a letter to the Yale president Savoy on Wednesday demanding that the university divest from its investments in companies providing Israel with military technology. Quote, in the total non-response of any kind from the institution we are speaking to, the final thing we can do is put our life on the line, our health and our well-being. Well, no response for the mainstream media either on this, except for Fox News, which sort of suggested the students had access to food if they wanted it and, you know, were lying about the fast, essentially. But I don't think our media wants this story to spread. There are tens of thousands of college students looking for something more powerful as we watch the children of Gaza starve to death. The second story is from Truth Out. In reality, the Biden administration has the power to stop Israel's offensive in Gaza in its tracks. Although Congress authorizes military aid, the President has the authority under the Arms Export Control Act to withhold, or threaten to withhold, the military aid when the recipient nation violates U.S. or international law. In terms of the international legal system, Israel is currently violating the Fourth Geneva Convention regarding the treatment of civilians in wartime, among a number of other statutes, and it's violating the UN Security Council Resolution 2728, which demands an immediate temporary ceasefire. Israel is also in violation of Section 502B of the 1961 Foreign Assistance Act, which prohibits aid to countries that prevent access to humanitarian relief supplies, and the 1999 Leahy Amendment, which prohibits funding foreign security forces engaged in the commission of gross violations of human rights. And finally, Biden's own National Security Memorandum 20, which requires U.S. security partners to provide written assurance that they will use U.S. military assistance in accordance with international law and facilitate humanitarian aid. Instead, Biden has utilized emergency powers to bypass public and congressional oversight in providing Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu arms from U.S. stockpiles overseas, including Hellfire missiles, bunker-busting bombs, which have had a devastating impact on Gaza's civilian population. At the end of March, his administration approved billions of dollars worth of additional bombs and fighter jets to Netanyahu's forces.
This has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine. On Tuesday, April 16th, Green Party presidential candidate Dr. Jill Stein was at the state capitol in Albany to launch the effort to collect the 45,000 signatures needed in the next 6 weeks to get the Green Party on the ballot in New York for the general election. Dr. Stein also talks about issues such as single-payer health care, the climate crisis, the ongoing genocide in Gaza, and income inequality.
As you know, it's no simple matter for independent and third-party candidates to get on the ballot, to actually be a choice for the voters of New York State. The ballot requirement that was incredibly ratcheted up in 2020 from 15,000 signatures over a very short period relative to other states, 6 weeks, that was tripled from 15,000 to 45,000 signatures that are required now in 6 weeks, making New York probably the most difficult state for alternative candidates to get on the ballot. And why does that matter? Well, you know, in the current environment where the two major party candidates are historically unpopular and widely rejected, New Yorkers, like the rest of Americans, are hungry for other choices and other voices and for candidates who reflect the deeply felt needs and wishes of New Yorkers. For example, health care as a human right, which is supported by an overwhelming majority of the population, hasn't been passed in New York and all other states, even when there is a Democratic Party trifecta in the governor's office and in both houses of the legislature. And that doesn't pass. The healthcare needs of the American people are in very sore shape, with something like 70,000 deaths per year, one out of every three COVID deaths linked to lack of health insurance, some 87 million Americans who do not have adequate healthcare coverage, or choosing between their rent and their pharmaceuticals and so on. It's about time that we have a candidate on the ballot who actually is committed to a single-payer type Medicare for all system, which not only provides healthcare head-to-toe, cradle-to-grave, actually conception-to-grave, and which saves approximately half a trillion dollars per year, even after healthcare has been expanded to everyone. And there are just a whole slew of critical issues now. Half of renters who are struggling, and that's a national figure, half of renters who are technically severely economically stressed, trying to keep a roof over their heads, and of course it's actually much worse in New York State, that problem is going unsolved. You know, our endless wars and the endless war machine that consumes half of our national budget, half of the congressional budget, is being spent basically on the Pentagon and related departments, consuming half of our discretionary resources, while we do not have the money to get students out of debt, to provide public higher education for free, which it should be, to ensure that the needs, the critical needs for housing and healthcare and education and so on, are being met. We are spending inordinate amounts of money, currently looking at an additional, I think it's $69 billion for Ukraine, if I'm not mistaken, and $14 billion for the genocidal war in the Middle East, which is perhaps about to expand in an extremely dangerous way. So these are very serious concerns of the American people. Not only do they need to be debated in this election, if they can't be debated in an election, when can they be? And voters deserve a right to actually choose candidates that represent their views on these issues. And the issues I enumerated have enormous, enormous, and usually majoritarian popular support as well. In fighting for democracy on the ballot drive, we are fighting a system which is essentially structured to keep competition out. And I want to note also that the Democrats have resorted to shameless scheming to keep their competition off the ballot. And an example of that was our Green Party Senate candidate in 2022, Matthew Ho, which is worth noting because there were dirty tricks launched against him, led by the notorious Mark Elias, who is the attorney heading up the DNC's Department of Dirty Tricks. And it is public knowledge that the DNC has hired on, according to their own announcement, an army of lawyers in order to try to nitpick their opposition on trivial, minor technical details to be able to throw us off the ballot and also to circulate rumors and smear campaigns to try to challenge our integrity. In North Carolina, in the Senate race in 2022, where our Senate candidate, Matthew Ho, who was a noted State Department diplomat, actually, in Afghanistan, and who very publicly quit during Obama's surge into Afghanistan, and we know how that went. He was running for Senate, and Mark Elias and his dirty tricksters impersonated the Green Party and phone called people who had signed our petition, Matt Ho's petition, pretending to be members of the Green Party. And the reason we know this, the impersonators happened to call the co-chair of the Green Party, who had the presence of mind to actually record that conversation, which is in the public domain now and was presented in court subsequently and led to the legal determination that the Democrats were basically operating with so-called dirty hands, which is a legal term, and they were fined for that. What is wrong with our political system today, in which basically big money is buying influence regularly, and competitors are being thrown off the ballot. So this is a real problem for democracy. And that is why we are launching our ballot drive here along with this fight for democracy, really calling for the rules of ballot access in New York State to be rolled back to 15,000 rather than 45,000. We actually did challenge this in court, and the court was not interested, unfortunately. And I want to just add that currently our campaign is the front runner among the Green Party candidates for the nomination. We are basically achieving 90% of the delegate votes at this point. We are heading right now for 21 current ballot lines that we collectively as the Green Parties and our campaign already have, and that includes the other most difficult states, that is California, Texas, and Florida, also Arizona. Those are already behind us, so we are well on the way. We are said to have 75% actually of the work done. It's in total 1 million signatures approximately that are needed in order to run as an independent or a third party. So we have about 75% of that work done. We are, as I mentioned, we have access in 21 states, including the most difficult. We're petitioning in another 25 states now. Those will be turned in over the next couple of weeks. Basically, we are on track to be the only pro-worker, anti-genocide, climate emergency choice that will be on the ballot for voters across the nation. There are other people-powered campaigns, I should mention, that are running with a very similar agenda, but they do not have the ability, the resources, the track record, the staff, et cetera, to be on the ballot as a true force to contest for power. And that is why this fight in New York State matters, not just, you know, for our overall democracy and for the sake of actual debate in this election, but for the sake of voters who are chomping at the bit.
Do you feel like Democrats and Republicans, Biden and Trump, are kind of equivalent in how they've disappointed, as you would say, the American people?
They are not the same, in my view. They are different, especially around the margins. But I personally, like many Americans, am hard-pressed to tell you which one is the greater and which one is the lesser evil when Joe Biden is leading us in a genocidal war, in the expansion of wars on many fronts, extremely now teetering at the nuclear brink, and where the Democrats are likewise leading the assault on our freedom of speech. We have an emergency here. We have an emergency for our climate, for our economy, for the state of crushing inequality, for endless wars which are now verging on nuclear. We have a state of emergency, and the American people are not going to just sit back and be told to be good little boys and girls and either vote for more of the same that has delivered this crisis by both Democrats and Republicans, or to simply sit it out and silence yourself. Silence is not a political strategy.
This has been Mark Dunley for Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Welcome back. Before we go on, please. Six ceramic animals.
Fair Isle. Thursday.
Please.
White. Falling slowly. Good.
The donkey's head that served as a jar lid.
White.
With a painted vase between its ears.
Sweet acidophilus.
A television personality says, okay.
Okay.
We now fully expect things not to follow from other things. Such that when things do not follow from other things, they seem to follow quite naturally from other things. The real non sequitur has perhaps become the sequitur, so to speak.
Oh, I know. Stop.
When a point follows from another point, it seems not to follow at all because we expect it not to follow. And when it doesn't,
huge teeth on one side of his mouth.
It seems as if it does because we expected it not to. When a point follows from another point,
what used to be called editing,
we expect it not to follow.
Yeah, absolutely not necessarily.
And when it doesn't,
it authenticates itself.
It seems as if it does because we expected it not to. In other words,
Viking, Pharaohs, becoming poorer. Variable,
Sarsaparilla.
White, losing its identity for a time. Good.
It was a nightmare.
Was a light fixture.
No, there is so much information coming in.
We never made love again, but we always remained friends. And then he said, I'm going to break your fucking arms.
And now we have a sort of an information overload.
What is softer than the flesh of a child?
The intention is profitability for these companies.
Cosmic habit force.
We don't know what's important and what's television and what's
sensuality.
My wife is in the hospital.
Oh, no.
Pink toothbrush.
She
ran home for a meatloaf sandwich. Let's wait.
Whoa.
So much coming in.
Time magazine.
Dancing around, you see a mousetrap closed over your eyeglasses.
We don't know what's important and what we shouldn't.
The other lens has been smeared with mustard.
Fair Isle.
We shouldn't.
And then someone is beating on the glasses with a hammer. Set them on fire.
Not everybody is able to trust what would otherwise be organic disease.
We don't know what we should be concentrating on or what's the deliberate manufacturing of falsehood.
But you guys caused the death of somebody you should have never... Oh, hey, wait a minute. I got marbles here.
Animals.
Because who in their right mind ever thought it was okay to put a concrete company 50 feet from a family home? A residential home.
Octopus.
And guess what? My dad called it dental floss.
Slurpability.
And guess what I did with it?
Why?
I put it away. Now remember, I have six butts, not six boobs. Because you know what? I'm going to be here every single meeting.
It's okay. See, I don't want to put words in my mouth.
Things do not follow from other things.
Isn't that kind of editing deceptive?
And again, so I convinced myself that I was just what you see in Pharaohs.
It's a very exciting time.
Trying to start questioning about if the society has not become insane.
Go away.
And by the way, we're still angry. Why?
Because your body is sick.
This is trending.
I love the media.
We are the media.
Oh, yeah.
It's a storm of lies.
The ocean is alive with leaping fish.
Every day.
They're wearing a trusting name badge.
Pregnant roller skate.
We assault you with so many contradictory messages that you don't know what's going on at all. You are crazy out of your mind. Anything is real.
Got it. We'll tune your recommendations.
Whoa.
Get over it.
That's a wrap.
What is that?
That's the sound of me being hit by a tennis ball.
Viking. Pharaohs. Becoming poor. Yeah. Variable. White. Losing its identity for a time. Good.
Believe me, it hurts.
Good.
That was Sequitur from Negative Land and their 2021 EP, No Brain. It is a cascade of samples about and from radio wave broadcasts. The dictionary says that sequitur is the, quote, conclusion of an inference, unquote.
I bet you they won't play this song on the radio. I bet you they won't play this new song. It's not that it's or controversial, just that the ing words are awfully strong. You can't say on the radio or. You can't even say I'd like to you someday unless you're a doctor with a very large. So I bet you they won't play this song on the radio. I bet you they dare ing well program it. I bet you they're ing old program directors who think it's a load of horse.
Music song. I saw you on TV doing a bad imitation of Van Morrison. I saw you on TV doing a bad imitation of a second-rate songwriter from the 80s named Morrissey. I never liked Morrissey, and I don't like you. Pathetic. And I saw you on TV trying to figure
live till today. I can tell you myself, he'd be like Brian Wilson. I don't like Brian Wilson. And I don't like you. I don't like you.
Flower when I thought I spied some lead.
Start again. Wait a minute now. Okay, take two.
I was riding on the Mayflower when I thought I spied some lead. I yelled for Captain E-Rib, I have you understand. Who came running to the deck, said, boys, forget the wheel. We're going over yonder, cut the engines, change the sails. Haul on the bowline, we sang that melody like all tough sailors do when they're far away at sea. I think I'll call it America, I said as we hit land. I took a deep breath, I fell down, I could not stand. Captain Arab, he started writing up some deeds. He said, let's set up a fort and start buying a place with beads. Just then this cop comes down the street, crazy